the Warriors lose to the Suns 112-106 in Phoenix. We have the breakdown of the game here. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Wes Goldberg, Warriors writer for the Mercury News. The Warriors fell behind by 10 points after the first quarter, in large part due to turnovers, and despite outscoring the Suns the rest of the way, that hole proved too much to overcome. Still, Marquese Chris managed to impress. Of course, he had plenty of motivation going against his former team, but finished with 18 points on 7 of 11 shooting, 12 rebounds and 3 assists, and 3 blocks in 31 minutes. Since signing his standard contract after the deadline, he's been playing really well, and he looks like he could be Golden State's long-term answer at center. I think, when he was on his two-way contract, he couldn't practice at all with the Warriors. They were trying to conserve as many of his days of NBA eligibility as possible. And since the trade deadline, which, of course, in the days leading up to the deadline, the Warriors traded 6 players away, only brought back 1 in Andrew Wiggins, so they were able to convert Marquese Chris as well as Kai Bowman from their two-way contracts to standard contracts. And then, of course, Chris was able to start practicing with the team again, and he looks a lot different. I mean, he was good before, but he looks nothing short of spectacular since. And you've got to imagine that the practices have a lot to do with that, especially because the Warriors are welcoming so many new players in, especially Wiggins. And Wiggins is actually connected with Chris on a few different lobs now, and so just being able to practice again with the team shouldn't be understated. That has a major factor in all of this, and in particular the lob threat that he provides this offense now. It has become basically their staple play over the last 3 games. Wiggins has found him a number of times. Kai Bowman has found him a number of times. Jordan Poole found him a few different times. Jordan Poole, of course, starting his first game of his career at point guard tonight, was, you know, mixed results here and there, but for Chris, you know, all of those things, that lob threat, his natural passing ability, his athleticism, all of this stuff is only going to be highlighted when he's playing next to Steph and Klay next season, right? I mean, we saw him go from training camp invite to beating out Alphonso McKinney for the regular roster spot, for a 15-man roster spot after the preseason, after he played so well next to Steph Curry in that preseason. And, of course, Curry goes down in the fourth game of the year, breaking his left hand. But I still think that they look at Chris as not only a guy who can go up and finish alley-oops, but be a hub of offense. We know that Steve Kerr likes to run offense through his centers, and I think Chris can be that. Now, he's not, you know, that back-to-the-basket type of facilitator that Andrew Bogut was or Zaza Pachulia was, but he's really adept at timing on passes, especially off of the dribble handoffs out on the perimeter. He's got a good feel for knowing when to kind of throw over the top or when to kick back to shooters, you know, beyond the arc. And that's obviously been something that's impressed, I think, the coaches all season long. And if he continues to play like this and finish the year strong, he can go from a position of, okay, well, you could be our backup center next year to, maybe we don't really need to address who our starting center is next year. Maybe he gets to a position where, you know, if the Warriors were interested in James Wiseman, which I don't get the impression that they are or not, but they could opt to go in a different route at the top of the NBA draft if they're in position to take Wiseman, if they're really believing in Chris, because he's only 22 years old. And the way he's playing now is almost a perfect fit. And I think the one thing that you miss with a guy like Marquese Chris is that rim protection. But tonight, man, I mean, he looked really good. He had 3 blocks again. He had a killer block on Jonah Bolden. He's got the athleticism to, even if he is out of position, to chase down guys and contest shots at the rim. But so often, he's just not that out of position. He seems smart. He's communicating out there. He's pointing guys in the right direction. He's calling out switches. He's calling out screens. And again, the more he's practicing with the team, the more he gets integrated in this team, and he could really solidify himself as maybe the long-term answer as the starting center. And obviously the big, you know, the other big wrench and the other big wrinkle, I should say, in that is Kevon Looney and Kevon Looney's health. He missed tonight's game. He was dealing with some left hip soreness, but you know, I don't think that Steve Kerr envisioned starting Looney at some point this year, because Chris has played so well, and that could carry over to next season too. If Chris and Looney are your two centers, that's not bad. And look, Chris played 31 minutes tonight. It was only the third time this whole season he's played in 30 or more minutes, and only the second time he's done so in a regulation game. And Looney, of course, we know isn't able to play those sort of extended minutes. So they may need another body just to soak up, just to absorb some of that playing time, some of those minutes at the five spot, especially if you don't want to play Draymond Green there a ton. And I don't think they really look at Eric Paschal as a long-term contributor at the center spot. But so you still may have to find another body there. And I still think you need a more traditional type of 7-footer, a big, bulkier body to go against those types of guys. And the Suns didn't have that guy. DeAndre Ayton was not playing for Phoenix tonight. So they were playing some non-traditional centers as well, which I think helped Marquese Chriss. But I think on a game-to-game, a night-to-night basis going forward into next season, Chriss has a real case to be made as their starting center, especially, again, because of the way that his vertical spacing and his natural passing ability, his basketball feel, projects next to guys like Steph and Klay. But the Warriors did end up losing this game, and there was one main reason why, coming up, the stat of the game. It's time for our stat of the game, and the number is 32. And that number is the points off of turnovers that the Suns scored. The Warriors had 22 turnovers in the game. The Phoenix had 32 points off of those turnovers. Now you compare that to just 14 turnovers for Phoenix, 21 points for the Warriors off of those turnovers, and that's the game right there. That's it. This is a six-point game. And that discrepancy is everything. And the Warriors went into an early hole. That 10-point hole was a result of their early turnovers. They had nine turnovers in the first quarter that led to 13 points for the Suns. That was it. And look, the Warriors tried to fight back. They got it to within four late in the fourth quarter, but that was as close as they got it, and they were just never able to overcome that early 10-point hole. And, you know, this is as healthy as this team is going to be in the backcourt going forward. You lose a guy like D'Angelo Russell, you're losing that natural point guard, and you're asking Draymond Green to do a lot. I mentioned that Jordan Poole had started at point guard for the first time in his career. And look, you know that I am bullish on Jordan Poole as a ball handler, but he was hit and miss tonight. 12 points on 4 of 12 shooting, 3 assists, 2 turnovers. He had a nice pocket pass to Marquese Chriss on a pick and roll. He flashed some nice passes and passing ability, but didn't always seem to know where to be at what time. And look, that's understandable. He's 20 years old. He's a rookie. This is his first time playing point guard since high school. He played a point guard in high school, but he was moved off the ball in his 2 years at Michigan. And so this is his first time really playing point guard since high school. So, and obviously his first time playing point guard in the NBA, which is probably a bigger adjustment. And so I think, you know, to expect anything more than what we saw tonight would have been asking too much. But ultimately, it was Draymond Green running the offense. And he was pointing out guys. He was, you know, directing traffic, communicating with his teammates and stuff. And he finished with 9 assists, though he also had 5 turnovers. He led the team in turnovers. So it wasn't a great night for Draymond Green either, even though, you know, I say he has 9 assists. He was responsible for probably a lot more points than just that. 9 assists, 6 points for the game on 2-for-5 shooting. So, you know, I think without D'Angelo Russell, and if Kai Bowman is going to struggle as he has, you know, over the last couple of games, really since he was, I mean, the flip side of the Marquese Chriss situation, right, is almost the opposite. Since having his two-way contract converted to a regular contract, Kai Bowman's not played well for Golden State. And so he only played 4 minutes tonight, had 0 points, and was a -9. I mean, the Warriors were outscored by 9 points in the 4 minutes Kai Bowman was on the court. So he did not play well by any stretch. And it's been tough to find some of the positives since he's come back. I mean, in his first game back against the Lakers, he had a career-high 10 assists. That was good. But the Kai Bowman we knew before he was sent down to Santa Cruz and worked on those point guard skills, He was a scoring guard, right? And he didn't turn the ball over a lot, which was good, but he was mostly a scoring guard. He wasn't really running offense, and the Warriors have been asking him to run more offense. And because he hasn't been able to necessarily do that, I think they gave Jordan Poole a chance. And then you look at a guy like Jeremy Pargo, who is on a 10-day contract. He's 33 years old. They were kind of doing him a favor by signing him to that 10-day, but he had 15 points in 21 minutes and two assists. Now, he had two assists. He had two turnovers as well, but he played a lot better than Kai Bowman did. And this might have been his last chance to try to earn another 10-day contract, either with the Warriors or with another team, because that 10-day contract goes through the All-Star break. Those days count. It's a 10-day contract, not a 10-game contract. So that will carry him through the All-Star break, and then that 10-day contract will expire, as will Zach Norvell Jr.'s 10-day contract. He played, you know, 8 forgettable minutes tonight, but didn't really make much of a mark on the game. But to go back to the turnovers here, this, I think, is going to be a trend if the Warriors can't necessarily find an answer on offense. Now, Andrew Wiggins had a nice game. He matched Devin Booker's game high, 27 points. Wiggins, 9 for 14 shooting, 3 for 4 overall, 6 of 6 from the free throw line. He had 5 assists to 2 turnovers. Also had 4 blocks and 2 steals in the game. I mean, he has looked really good. And this was another really impressive game. I mean, 27 points on 14 shots. He's been efficient. He's cutting off the ball really well and doing all of these things. But, you know, he's not going to run your offense like we found out in Minnesota, right? So while he could be your scoring threat, the Warriors need to find an answer to running their offense. And maybe it's Draymond Green, but Draymond this year, he's been, you know, night to night, he's been pretty inconsistent. So if Draymond's going to be your point forward, Wiggins is going to be your primary scorer, then they need to find one other guy who can really run some offense for you. Maybe it's Jordan Poole, or maybe it's Kai Bowman if he can really pick up his game after the All-Star break. That's going to be what the Warriors are looking for. They need to know, all right, are one of these guys going to emerge as Steph Curry's backup next season, or is that a position that we're going to have to address this summer in free agency? Coming up, I'll tell you which Suns player the Warriors should target this offseason. All right, let's get to your Twitter questions. Remember, you can always submit your questions to my Twitter account at WC Goldberg, or use the hashtag AskLOWarriors. This question comes from at GSW Cowboy, who writes in, I'm ready to talk possible draft picks and MLE targets and TPE scenarios. Can you give us your take on what the potential moves are? Plus, pure speculation, of course. Okay, so I'm not ready to start talking draft picks or MLE targets, but I do want to start talking about a TPE scenario. TPE, of course, standing for traded player exception. The Warriors have a $17.2 million traded player exception that they created by trading Andre Iguodala. They need to use that by July, by the first week of July here, and there are a few players who I've been looking at as a possible target for the Warriors. They're going to want to use that traded player exception. They plan to use it. They can use it on any one player who makes a salary up to $17.2 million. Now, they cannot separate it among two or three players. It has to be used on one player. So if you get a player that makes $17 million, great. If you get a player who makes $4 million, it still counts. That is your entire $17.2 million trade exception. So that's the brief explainer on what that is. Now, as far as players who the Warriors could target, they can go a couple different routes. They could just go ahead and say, hey, look, you have a player who's making $17 million or thereabouts. We will take that player off your hands. We'll provide you a little bit of cap flexibility, salary cap relief in exchange for a useful player for us. A player like that, I would imagine, could be Evan Fournier from the Orlando Magic. If they're not thrilled about paying Fournier $17 million, then they can trade him to the Warriors. He'll be on an expiring contract. That could make some sense for Golden State. The other way that they can go about this is they can actually, you can't combine another salary with the trade exception, right? So you can't take, you know, that 17.2, add a $5 million salary, and then make it, you know, a $23.2 million salary, or $22.2 million salary. I'm not great at math. But you can take that and combine it with a draft pick, right? Which doesn't count as salary, obviously. So let's say the Warriors end up with a top five pick, which they will. You could take that top five pick, combine it with the $17.2 million exception, and move that as a package for a player. And now that's something really valuable. So there's a few players that I'm looking for. It's tough to find those guys. I think in that case you'd be looking for a young player, because the Warriors obviously would be giving up a draft pick, a top five draft pick. You would have to hope, if you're Golden State, that the player you acquire has a much higher ceiling than any of these players in the draft. And now it's considered a weak draft, but I don't think you would necessarily make a move for an established veteran who maybe is in the twilight of his career or doesn't have much more to give. I think you'd be looking for a younger player, 26 years old or younger, about to enter his prime. One such player is Kelly Oubre, who I love. I think he's a phenomenal talent. I love what he's been doing in Phoenix this year. Tonight against the Warriors, he had 15 points on 5 of 16 shooting, went 3 of 10 from the three-point line, 6 rebounds. I think that doesn't necessarily reflect how good of a player he is. That's pretty much below his averages, but he's young. He's 24 years old. He's long. He's got a 7-plus foot wingspan. He can guard multiple positions. He can switch onto multiple positions. He can hit open jumpers. He's a good off-ball cutter. He can attack a bent defense. Now, he would fill a need for the Warriors, who still, even after the Andrew Wiggins trade, need more depth on the perimeter. But because of Wiggins being there, they play the same position. So I don't know who you would start in that situation. It would probably be Wiggins, given that what they gave up for him in D'Angelo Russell. But I don't think you could play both of them at the same time. You would have to bring one of them off the bench. I don't know how either of them would react to that situation. So it was before the Wiggins trade. Oubre was one of these guys who I was looking at as a possible target with that trade exception. But now, because of the Wiggins trade, probably doubtful. And then, talking with some people around Phoenix, I don't think that the Suns would be willing to even do that, even if it were a top five pick. I just think that they value Kelly Oubre so much. So this is a great question from GSW Cowboy. It's something that we need to think about a little bit more. And that's going to be kind of the stuff we're talking about on this show going forward the rest of the season. But for now, that's it for today. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Thanks for listening.